I direct your attention to the passage of Scripture that we read a moment ago. Remind you that Peter is one of the most, probably the most, unique personalities in all the Bible. We know a little bit about him. His brother was named Andrew. His Andrew is actually the one that brought him to Jesus Christ. He was a fisherman with his brother Andrew, and they were partners with James and John, two of the other disciples. Peter was the one that had enough faith that time in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when a storm arose and Jesus came to him walking on the sea. They were frightened, didn't know who he was. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me come walking on the water to you." And he got out of the boat and Jesus said, "Come ahead." And he got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. A lot of people criticize him because he took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink and had to pray, "Lord, save me." And Jesus had to rescue him from drowning. But I always tell those people that want to criticize him and remind them, hey, he was the only disciple that got out of the boat. The other 11 didn't have enough faith to test Jesus and try him. He was one of the inner circle with James and John. He got to go on the Mount of Transfiguration and see Jesus changed before them. He got to meet Moses and Elijah. Got to go into that room where Jesus healed that little girl, Jairus' daughter, brought her back to life. He was the one that made the great confession when Jesus asked, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter was the one that stood for the disciples and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But he was also the one on that night before Jesus was crucified, as he came into Pilate's hall and stood around the campfire, that one that three times denied that he even knew Christ, denied that he was one of his disciples. But later on, he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved and baptized. He and John preached a few days after that when they were in the temple, and 5,000 people were saved and baptized, and we know that he was a leader of the early church. But the verses of Scripture that we read from John 21 cover a critical time in Peter's life. He was facing a decision. He was at a point in his life where he was going to make a decision that was going to affect the rest of his life. Some things had happened that we'll talk about in just a moment that Peter didn't understand, that Peter couldn't explain, that Peter didn't like. And so he said there in that verse that we read in verse 3, he said, "I go a fishing." I go a-fishing. And that's the title of my sermon this morning. I go a-fishing. Peter was a fisherman. When Jesus called him, he forsook that way of life. And for 3 years, he followed Christ. He heard Jesus teach. He heard Jesus preach. He saw most of the miracles, if not all the miracles, that Jesus performed. He not only saw Jesus in his public life, he saw Jesus in his private life. And he knew that what people saw in public was the way Jesus was in private. He did not change. He was not one way before a crowd and another way in private. He was the same. He loved the same. He lived the same. He was there when Jesus was arrested. He was there when Jesus was beaten. Peter was there when Jesus was hung on the cross and crucified. He was there when Jesus was buried. He was also with John after Mary went to the tomb and said, "Hey, they've stolen his body." Peter was one of the disciples that ran to the tomb and saw the empty tomb, saw the grave clothes that Jesus were wrapped in, laying empty, saw the napkin that was wrapped around his face, folded and put in another place. And at this point in his life, in John chapter 21, the risen Lord had already appeared to the disciples on two different occasions. On two different occasions, Peter had seen the risen Christ. But now, there had come a time into his life that doubts began to come in. He could not explain what was happening. He could not understand what was going to happen. And I think he was a little confused. I think he was a little scared. I think he was feeling sorry for himself. But Peter was an impetuous person. He was a man of action. He wasn't one to sit around and wait to see how everything was going to come out. And so he made this statement and he made this decision, I go a-fishing. I was thinking about it last night. Other than the time that Jesus told him to go fishing, told Peter to go fishing and catch a fish because there'd be a coin in the mouth of the fish that Peter could use to pay his taxes and Jesus' taxes, there's no other record that I recall in the Bible of Peter going fishing from the time that Jesus called him to this point. Again, he went and threw a line in to catch that fish that had their tax money. And with tax season approaching, that would be a wonderful thing if we could go fishing and catch a fish with enough money to pay our taxes. But I hope nobody's planning on that because it hadn't happened since that point. And you're in trouble if that's what you're planning on. But no other occasion where Peter went back to that thing that he did before Jesus called him. And so this was a time in his life where Peter's future and his discipleship was hanging in the balance. He was sort of taking a step back. He had given 3 years of his life to Christ. He had lived and breathed his discipleship. He stood with Christ. He preached with Christ. He worked miracles with Christ. But now, because Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven, because Jesus was getting to leave this earth, Peter was taking stock of where his life was going to go, and instead of going full forward, instead of being charged up about the resurrection and the risen Lord, Peter was taking a step backwards. Again, because of circumstances that were taking place in his life that he couldn't explain. He couldn't understand how it fit in with the plan of God. He didn't understand it all altogether how God was working to bring about salvation. And so he took a step back. He took a step back from his zeal. He took a step back from his passion for Christ. He took a step back in his service for Christ. Hey, I wonder if there might be somebody here at that same point in your life. I wonder if there might be somebody here that is not as passionate in serving Christ as you used to be. It don't have the same amount of zeal that you used to have. Maybe have taken a step back. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about taking a step back in your discipleship. You're not doing everything that you used to do. You're not doing it with the same amount of zeal. You're not doing it with the same amount of passion. This morning, I want to look at this event in Peter's life and tell you it never pays to take a step back. When you take a step back from God, you're getting away from His will for your life. He's a God that says, keep going forward. He's a God that keeps saying, keep making progress. Keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But Peter, again, he was taking a step back. Less zeal, less commitment. And usually, this is not my sermon, I'm just throwing this in. I actually only have 3 points this morning, but I got a couple other things I want to say. I don't want to count them as points because I don't want to discourage you. But there's usually one of two attitudes that a person has when they take this step back. One of the attitudes that's prevalent at a time like this is, hey, I'm the only one serving God anyway. Nobody else is trying to live for God. Nobody else has the same amount of passion that I do. Nobody else has the zeal that I do. I'm just going to take a step back. I'm still going to live for God. I'll still come to church, but I won't do what I used to do. And we get to thinking, because I'm the only one. What difference does it make? You remember when Elijah felt like that? He got to feeling sorry for himself, and he was ready to take a step back. And he says, God, everybody else in the whole nation of Israel, they have bowed their knee to Baal. I'm the only one that's still serving you. And God comes to Elijah and says, now, son, just calm down a little bit. There's still 7,000 people that haven't bent their knee to Baal. I got some things I want you to do. And he told him to go out and anoint some people to anoint Elijah to take his place, anoint the next king of a couple different nations, and then he would be taken to heaven in that fiery chariot. But you ever get to thinking you're the only one serving God? Just remember, you're not. You're not. That God still has an army that serves him. You need to keep going. not take a step back. The other attitude that's prevalent in these times when we want to take a step back and lose our zeal, lose our passion, lose our commitment is this. Well, we're such a small group, what can we do anyway? I mean, sinners outnumber Christians, the world outnumbers Christians, what can we do? The Israelites got to thinking about that when they were ready to go into the land of promise. Remember, they sent us 12 spies over there, and the spies came back and said, oh boy, we're not only outnumbered, we're outgunned. They're bigger than we are. They're giants. And they ended up wasting 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't trust God and they turned away from the promised land. Listen, it may seem like the world is winning. It may seem like Satan's forces are winning the victory in today's world, but I want to tell you something. They're not. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I've read the last chapter. I know how it's going to turn out. God's not done with his children yet. I believe that we can still see a revival that will turn this world back to God. I believe that can still happen. Doesn't matter how small we are in number, we got a mighty big God. We got a God that can do anything. We got a God that can do the impossible. We need to just keep serving him. But I want to go back to Peter. I want you to consider some things as he took this step back. That if you decide to take this step back, the same thing is going to be true in your life. Number one, I want you to notice that when he took the step back, he did not go by himself. It said there in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And he was there with the other disciples. And what did they say? We will go with thee. You see, when Peter took this step back, when he lost some of his zeal, when he lost some of his passion, he took some of the other disciples with him. They were following him. They were following him, his example. And I will tell you this morning that you will never take a step backwards in serving God without taking somebody else with you. You will never go back and lose some of your zeal and lose some of your passion and lose some of your commitment without influencing somebody else to do the same thing. You may say this morning, well, I'm not going to come to church as much as I used to, or I'm not going to do the things in church as much as I used to, or I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to give that up, and I'm going to give this up. Listen, when you do that, you not only impact your life, but you impact the lives of other people that are looking at your example. So again, my message to you this morning is don't take a step back. Don't go fishing. And again, I don't really like to fish. I never liked the way the worm felt on my fingers. I always got stung by the fish. I always had to have somebody bait my hook and take the... I mean, I just didn't enjoy it. But and so I can say, without reservation, don't go fishing. And I'm not talking about casting a line. I'm talking to taking a step backwards in your service to God. I'm talking about losing some of your zeal. I'm talking about losing some of your passion. Because if you do that, there'll be other people that'll go with you. Who will it be? Maybe it'll be your kids. Maybe it'll be your spouse. Maybe it'll be your parents. Maybe it'll be that kid that's in your Sunday school class that looks up to you, that you're a hero in his eyes. And when he sees you take that step back, he's going to take a step back. He's going to say, well, maybe this thing called Christianity isn't all what it's cracked up to be. Maybe it doesn't pay to be a Christian. And so this morning, don't take a step back because you'll affect somebody else. And if not for your sake, do it for their sake. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Number two, when you take a step back, you always go further than you want to go. You always go further. Peter did. He said, I'm going fishing. Next thing we know, he's fishing naked. Jesus never appreciates it when people take their clothes off. Jesus is for modesty. And so he's out in the sea, naked. And then the Bible says when Jesus comes to the shore and calls to him and asks him if they caught any fish, the Bible says the disciples didn't even recognize him. They had gone so far back that they didn't recognize their master. They didn't recognize their Savior. And I want to tell you, if you take a step back, you're always going to go further than you intend to go. Say, well, I'll just give up Sunday school. I'll just quit coming to Sunday school. I'll keep coming to church on Sunday morning. I'll keep coming to church on Sunday night. And I'll even show up on Wednesday. You know what will happen next? Say, well, I don't need Wednesday night. You know what will happen next? I don't need Sunday night. I can get everything I need on Sunday morning. Try eating once a week and see how that works. Amen? You always go further than you want to go. And pretty soon the point will come in your life and say, well, maybe I can just come to church in the morning on Easter and Sunday, Easter and Christmas. I can get everything I need on those two Sundays, and I don't need anything else. You always go further than you plan to go. I mean, I can show you example after. I could take you to somebody's house after church, and I could introduce you to a person that was on fire for God. Did everything. Every time the door was open, that person attended church. Anything that needed to be done, they were part of it. They gave sacrificially. They taught a Sunday school class. Drove a bus. I want to tell you something. They're not in church today. His wife's not in church today. His kid's not in church today. He took them all with him. And he went further than he intended to go. It's always the case. And then number three, taking that step back, you won't be any happier. You won't be any more satisfied. You won't have any more purpose. Look, you took the step forward and came to Jesus Christ because you wanted purpose and meaning in your life. You wanted the eternal, a life that he offered in Jesus Christ. You wanted the abundant life he offered in Jesus Christ. He asked you to lay your all on the altar. You laid it on the altar, and you saw how that sacrifice resulted in the blessings of God that he gave you, that abundant life that he came to give his children. If you take a step back, you're not going to find more satisfaction. You're not going to find more peace. You're not going to find more joy. You're not going to find more blessings of God. You're going to find less. You're going to find, and listen, the emptiness in your life that you knew before you met Christ, it's going to come back. Because a Christian can't step back from their service from God without losing some of the satisfaction and the joy that comes in serving God. And so this morning, maybe some circumstance has come into your life. Maybe you're fighting a health issue and you've prayed to God and asked God to get you over this health issue and God says, no, I'm not going to do it. Maybe somebody in the church has offended you. Maybe they've taken a position that disagreed with yours and you got a little bit upset with them. Maybe you even got upset with the preacher. Can't imagine that, but maybe you did. And you're at that point in your life where you're saying, well, I'm not going to be as committed as I was. I'm not going to have the zeal that I used to have. I'm not going to have the passion that I used to have. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Don't do that. You keep on pressing. You keep on pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You lay your body as a living sacrifice on the altar. You keep doing what you're doing and look for new things to do. You keep serving God. That's what brings happiness. That's what brings peace. That's what brings joy to a Christian's life, is finding and serving God in the areas that he wants us to serve him. Not stepping back. Not stepping back. By the way, you may be here and you have no idea what I'm talking about that abundant life, that eternal life, that joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Let me quickly tell you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're a sinner. You're a sinner under the condemnation of the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death, separation from God. The Bible says we're all sinners because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation of God. But the Bible says, but the gift of God... The gift of God, given out of his mercy, given out of his grace, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He offers that to every single person this morning. I think most of us here this morning are saved. Most of us here this morning are on our way to heaven. Most of us here this morning have come to that point in our life where we asked Jesus to be our Savior, and he saved us. Wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Building a mansion for us in heaven, giving us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to guide us and to encourage us. But you may be here this morning and have no idea of any of that. Let me tell you, he offers grace to you this morning. He offers grace. The grace that says that if you'll come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. I'll make you one of my children. I'll make you part of my family. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. Listen. If you're here and you've never done that, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't let Satan lie to you and get you to put it off. Don't let Satan lie to you and tell you it's not true. It is true. This book says it's true. The Word of God says it's true. If you're not saved this morning, you need to come and get saved. If you're a Christian, and again, I think most of us are Christians here this morning, maybe you haven't taken a step back. Maybe you're saying, "Preacher, I'm just as sold out to God as I've ever been." Well, that's wonderful, but you know what? Every now and then, we need to renew that vow to Him. Every now and then, we need to lift our heart to heaven and say, "Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours completely. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I am yours." Every now and then, we need to renew that vow to the Lord and tell Him. So this morning, I ask you to examine your own heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I ask you to come. We'll take the Bible, show you from the Bible how to ask Him to be your Savior. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with some circumstances, with something in your life that's tempting you to take a step backward, don't go fishing. Don't go fishing. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the individuals, the stories of their lives that you put in there that we can use as examples for our own. And I pray that we wouldn't be like Peter in this case. He has a lot of good qualities, and a lot of times we need to pattern our life after him, but not in this case. Help us to stay true. Help us to stay faithful. Help our zeal. Fan our zeal, Holy Spirit. Fan our passion. Help us to keep serving, to keep going on, to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I do pray for those that might be here that don't know Christ. I pray, Father, that they would see that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. Please bless this time of invitation. Use it. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.